Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
As I was driving up this morning, you know, there's that old song, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers, sisters, all of us dwell together in unity." Because where we're in unity, God commands a blessing. His presence is here. It's so good to be here. I'm going to talk about something which is one of the ideas in the New Freedom course, which is a bit of an unusual idea for us. It's about the tree of life. Okay, so get your head around that concept. You're going to need to buckle up today because there's a lot of stuff. And it's good. It's good stuff. Okay, so buckle up, get ready for this. Who likes fruit? Where's he going with that? I love fruit. My mother, bless her, ended her days eating just about fruit and nothing but fruit. She said, "I've become a fruitarian." I'm getting older. I love fruit. And I just think there's not enough variety of it about. I was in Colombia a few years back, and somebody served up this gorgeous plate of stuff I'd never seen in my life before. It smelled wonderful. Not all fruit smells wonderful. Dragon fruit smells awful. But this stuff smelt lovely and it tasted gorgeous. And they told me what it was, and I couldn't remember any of it apart from one: guanabana. Anybody had guanabana? That's it. That's how I remember it. Guanabana. It's lovely. You can buy the cartons of guanabana juice if you hunt for them. Okay, but there's wonderful fruit about. A friend of mine loves to tend roses. Now, I'm no gardener. I just slash burn and destroy. Really, I spend my time pulling stuff up and killing it. My wife's the gardener. But he cultivated these roses. And he was out in his garden, and he was just looking at this wonderful rose and giving thanks for it. He said, "Lord, thank you for this wonderful rose." You know what the Lord said back to him? "You call that a rose? You call that a rose? Just you wait and see what the roses are like in heaven. Just you wait and see what the fruit is like in heaven." The wonderful stuff that Colombia produces, the limited range that we have in our supermarkets now, the little things that we call oranges, just you wait until we get to heaven. Now in Genesis, God gives Adam and Eve free range over this wonderful fruit. It was the fruit that was given and the plants that were given for them to eat. And they had free range over stuff we haven't even imagined. Just the smell of it, the scent of it will be so beautiful, so intoxicating. And right in the center of this beautiful garden were two particular trees. One was the tree of life. And they had access to that. The other one was the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And out of this colossal range of beautiful stuff that was there for them to eat, there was just one that they were not allowed to eat from. Just one out of all of it. And I bet the tree was gorgeous because it was enticing. And they were enticed. And they ate it. It had center spot in the Garden of Eden. And those two trees represent a clear choice: life or death, faith or fear, dependence or independence, relationship or rules, God's way or our way. And humanity, we know, made the wrong choice. And choices have consequences. You know, we've got a wonderful homeless group here. And when I go out to see those guys and women, I think, my goodness, you know, I'm just one step away from whatever's happened to you. Just one stupid wrong decision, maybe compounded by another, and I'll be out there with you. Our choices have consequences. And one consequence of eating from the one thing they couldn't eat was that the tree of life was denied to them. Eating from the tree of knowledge changed everything. Adam and Eve made gods of themselves and of Satan. who had tempted and enticed them. In disobeying God, they obeyed Satan. They changed one Lord, the Lord, for another. They chose a new Lord. In fact, they chose two. They chose Satan and they chose themselves. You know, the word Lord means master. Next time you call Jesus Lord, try calling him master. Try that. See what happens in your flesh when you start calling him master. Let's just do it now. Come on. Master. Is there anything in you go, woo, woo? If you have a trouble with that, well, just take it to the Lord and master. Because that's who he is. It's good for your humility to call him master occasionally. So in disobeying God and choosing the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what happened was they reversed the order of creation. What had been God, man, and creation in perfect harmony became Satan, man, and creation locked into a predatory relationship. Quite literally, a food chain, a pecking order had been established. The whole of creation until then had functioned under the flow of the love and the authority of the Lord. And that brought perfect peace and order. Peace and order. Now, what was beginning to happen was that under the Lord of misrule, disorder reigned. And that affected who we are as human beings. Instead of being people who are led by a spirit that informs our soul, which is our personality, which is who we are, and which has beneath that our body, which has its needs, that order gets reversed. And what happens is we're led, we're driven by the needs of our body, which impact the way we feel, and our spirit is kicked into the long grass. The order is reversed by doing this stupid thing, which I suspect most of us do most of the time. We live, we eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the calling on our lives to be blessed and to be fruitful and to be prosperous and to live in love, that had given way to greed and fear. The two primal motives that drive the whole of the animal kingdom, greed and fear, particularly us. So something had to be done to stop the rot. Now, we've been reading as a church Exodus and Corinthians. So fast forward to Exodus and the giving of the law. Now, we'd chosen to live from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God gives us a sovereign will. And he respects the choices that we make, even if they're wrong. He won't take away your choice. So we need to make right choices. So important that we do that. So God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us how to live from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were rules which defined what was wrong. They were the thou shalt nots. They were the rules that would keep people from straying if people obeyed them. It's a bit like the barriers on a motorway. The barriers on the motorway are not there to punish you if you drive badly. They're there to save your life. They're there to save you crossing the central reservation and killing somebody else. They protect you and they protect others from you. So the rules that say, knowing that I'm not allowed to steal, murder, or commit adultery, saves not only me from myself, but it saves you from me too. The basis of all law is quite simple. My freedom ends where your freedom begins. That's why we have laws. The Ten Commandments begin by demonstrating the impact of the right and wrong relationship with God. How did the Ten Commandments begin, guys? They begin by showing us the consequences of you shall have no other gods before me. You see, there are spiritual realities which our eyes don't see, but they are real. God is good and God is love, but there are evil entities, there are demonic entities. And the consequences of having other gods, of choosing evil, is it affects our spiritual DNA. God says, if you do that, if you have other gods before me, then the sins that you've done will be passed on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation and possibly the next generation. The spiritual DNA of your children is impacted by your sin, particularly when you worship other gods. But God is so much mightier than that. So the consequence to our spiritual DNA of worshiping the living God is this: grace, mercy, goodness, hope, faith, salvation to 1,000 generations of your children, to your children and your children's children. Come on. It's a merciful cycle. The vicious cycle becomes a merciful one. I don't know if you've noticed, but when you see people who've come from generations of Christian homes, there's often a particular grace on them. Their spiritual DNA has received something. And as they live out that walk of faith in obedience and seeking to give away what God has given us, so the mercy and the grace and the goodness continues and continues and it grows. That's salvation being worked out. 1,000 generations can learn to take hold of God by faith and work that out in love and obedience. And the giving of the law, because that's right at the beginning of the law, it says the consequence of sin messes up your spiritual DNA. The consequence of faithfulness to the living God reverses that for good. Much more powerful. But the giving of the law was revealed on a mountain amid smoke and fire and noise. In that place was the fear of the Lord, because God is holy. And the fear of the Lord, proper respect, reverence, and awe, that's the beginning of wisdom. So the giving of the law was within that context. But the law was powerless to help us do what was right. It's a set of rules to stop you crossing those central reservations and getting killed. But it's powerless to make you a good driver. It's powerless to make you do what is right. Something else has to happen. And when asked about the law, specifically about the law, what Jesus did was he focused on what we should do, not what we shouldn't do. He focused on the positive, not the negative. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your strength, and with your mind, with all that you are. Focus your love on him and your neighbor. Give it away. Give it away. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, what Jesus was doing was moving the benchmark from rules to relationships, from fear to love. But what he highlighted was already there in the law. It's in Deuteronomy and it's in Leviticus. Why? Because God never changes. Jesus was showing there had to be a better way than a more perfect understanding of good and evil, which is what the law gave. And we've been reading 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, 31 says, and yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all. It's love. So living from the knowledge of good and evil, the law alone could never, ever put right what was wrong. It could never reverse the fall. It's necessary, but it isn't sufficient. It's not enough. So why then did God give the law? I think the law is pickling fluid. It's intended to preserve. It's intended to preserve a people. It keeps us from destroying ourselves and one another. And it teaches us that we can never, ever lift ourselves up by our spiritual bootstraps or any bootstraps and get to heaven. We can't even lift ourselves up by our bootstraps and get off this earth. Try it. It just looks silly. You haven't got the ability to do it. We can't do it. And the law shows us that. So Galatians 3:24 points that out. So that the law served as our trainer, our guardian, our guide to Christ to lead us until Christ came, that we might be put in right standing with God by and through faith. The law just points. It points to what must be. And what must be is not rules, but relationship. Not the threat of death, but the promise of life. Not some means of controlling our actions, but changing our hearts so that what comes out of us looks more like love than fear, looks more like God than Satan. How? By having God in us. There's no other way. So God says, you can't get to me. You'll never get to me. I'm going to have to come to you. You can't even stop yourselves from doing what is wrong, let alone begin to do what is right. So I'm going to have to live in you and change you from within. And I will do it with my love, as you live in my love, and as you accept my love. It's the only way. God has made the running, and the only way is Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So God himself shows us a more excellent way, and his life in our lives is that way. It's his kingdom bubbling up from within us, no longer beyond our reach, but bubbling up from within, like the water table rising and then overflowing to others. You know, there's a saying, you are what you eat. Yeah? Well, folks, you're looking at a peanut butter sandwich here. Let that be a word of warning to you. This is what happens when you have too many peanut butter sandwiches. We become what we eat. Crunchy, thank you. I like to think of myself as smooth, actually. So Jesus is our spiritual food. His life enters our lives, and we become like him. It works like this. This is John 6. This is a crunchy conflict between the Pharisees, who are not getting the point, and Jesus. Then they ask him, so what should we do to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe on the one he's sent. That doesn't cut the mustard for these guys. So they say to him, well, so what sign are you going to give us then, so that we might see the sign and then we'll believe in you? I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Because our ancestors, they ate the manna in the wilderness which God provided. It says in the scripture, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they're going, yeah, that's right. So they say, sir, always give us that bread. That's the bread we want. And Jesus declared, you're looking at him. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me, puts his trust in me, leans upon me, relies upon me, gives me his life, will never go thirsty. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Can you say everyone? I'm looking at everyone. He said earlier, whoever comes to me, Can you say whoever? Whoever. I'm looking at whoever. This is you. This is you. You're included. You're included. It's you, okay? You are whoever, you are anyone, you are everyone. It's you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. For my Father's will is that everyone, let's say everyone, who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up. I will do it for you on the last day. That's my pledge, he says to you. All of us. Come on. This is good. And then he says, listen, I am telling you the absolute truth. This is utterly, completely, totally true. The one who believes in me has eternal life. Already has, amen. Has. I am the bread of life, me. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, sure, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. And whoever eats this bread, say whoever, as you, eats this bread, will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We're taking communion this morning, incidentally. You can see why now. Jesus is the bread of life. And we need to eat from him at least as often as we feed our bodies. I'm going to say that again. He's the bread of life, so we need to eat from him at least as often as we feed our bodies. Because it's his life in our lives that saves us and guarantees our eternal life. It's his life in our lives that sets us free to bring our lives back into order. It's that day-to-day relationship with the person of peace that brings perfect peace to our lives. This is called the shalom of God. Peace is not just an absence of fighting. It's not just a quiet spell in the middle of a load of strife. Peace is joy. Peace is happiness. Peace is prosperity. Peace is well-being. Peace is being satisfied. Peace is being able to look someone else in their eyes and feel good together. The shalom of God is just amazing. And it's ours. Come on. It's ours. You want that? Then you want the person of peace, Jesus. What you want is more and more and more of Jesus. We need a change of masters. And we need a change of heart, literally. We need to be changed from within. God knows that, so God said he would. Ezekiel 11:19 says, I will put a new heart in them. And that's what happens when you're born again. God gives you the new heart that you need to live out his life of love. When you give your heart to Jesus, he gives you a new heart back. That's the exchange. Oh, it's no big deal, is it really, for us to give away this to get that? His life and our life, living with him and for him instead of for ourselves. God is love. God is life. Choose love. Choose life. Choose God. Why would you do anything else? Let the love of God fill your life. Live differently. Instead of living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the place of greed and fear, particularly the place of fear, live from the tree of life. So what does living from this new place look like? It means that we live from relationship rather than religion. Thank you. It means we live from faith rather than from fear. It means we live from moment by moment relationship with God rather than a set of rules. It means we live from our spirit in fellowship with his spirit. It means we live in fellowship with who we know, not just what we know. It means we live in daily dependence on our Father in heaven rather than from our own instincts, abilities, and resources. All of heaven's resources are yours. All of them are yours. You'll get what you take by faith. God prepares a banquet for you, which is more than you could ever eat. Just take more. It's not greed, it's faith. What does this look like? Oh, it's a little thing. I was at a football tournament last week watching Sam's team, Ashington Cougars. Cougars! Thrash everybody! They won this tournament. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And halfway through it, one of the parents came over looking a bit worried. Looking like this. I said, what's the problem? He said, I've lost my bag. It's got my wallet in it. It's got all my money in it. It's got my mobile phone. And it's got the key to my brand new Land Rover. The only key. I don't know how I'm going to get home. And off he went to look. And I thought, okay, Lord, you know where that bag is. Just give him his bag back. And I thought, shall I go and join him? And I just thought, you don't need to, Andrew. Just enjoy the match. If he comes back in half an hour and he's still looking for his bag, then think again. Well, he came back in half an hour with the bag. He said, I don't understand it. He said, a dog sniffed it out. This woman, this lady, came over to me and said, my dog has found this bag over the other side of the pitch where I've been. And she gave it back to me. Everything's still in it. Everything, money, keys, phone, all of it, still in there. And he said, thank God. Amen. Come on. Very good. Very good. Live from your spirit. I didn't need to go off hunting this man's bag with him. I enjoyed the match and he got his bag back. Funny thing is, got home and Saren had lost a set of keys. We couldn't find these keys. I thought, there's no problem, we just pray. Go on, Lord, you've got this guy's bag back. Could we have our keys back? Keys to the tool shed. Can't find them. Spent the week looking for these keys. Not fretting, but they didn't, you know, no dog came. We've got a cat who's useless, frankly. So I went to get in my car this morning to come to church. There were the keys on the front seat of the car. Thank you, Lord. Must have been my fault. But thank you, Lord. We got the keys back. That's great. Live in peace with the person of peace. He loves you. He knows where your keys are. He knows where the bloke's bag is. He loves you. Live in peace with him. Don't live in stress. Jesus is the bread of life. But the Bible also talks about the river of life and the tree of life. Revelation 22 says this. This is just beautiful. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of that tree were for the healing of the nations. This river of life makes salt water fresh, so it will wipe away all your tears. The tree of life is always bearing fruit. Why? Because we need it, and others need it. It's there for you. Adam and Eve were denied access to it, but it's there for you. Jesus is the bread of life. We need daily communion with God to sustain us. We are made that way daily, food and drink. Jesus said, John 4:14, whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Not just for you, but for those you give a cup of cool water to drink. You're part of it now. You're part of it. in you. The kingdom isn't far from you. Jesus said the kingdom is among you. He said from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It's that river of life in Revelation that flows from God's throne. We're called to live continually in the Spirit. Continually being refreshed and refilled. When was the last time you were filled with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you were refreshed? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? If you haven't, dive in. At the end, we'll pray for you. Because God wants to fill you with his river of life. Amen. He pours it out. You're the whoever. You're the anyone. You're the everyone. It's you. It's not for others. It's for you. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll pray for you. Come up later. So Jesus said that the kingdom is within us and it bubbles up within us like a river. The kingdom of God is within you, it's in your hearts, it's among you, it's surrounding you. Luke 17:21. The point is this, it's not beyond your reach. It's within you. Just release it. Just release it. The kingdom of God is not for you to attain by trying to achieve perfection in your life. That is eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The kingdom is received by faith as you receive Jesus, and it grows as your relationship with Jesus grows. The moment we receive Jesus, we pass from death into life. The Bible tells us we are already citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home. Amen. And we're called to live from heaven to earth. Don't wait for it until you die. You're called to live from heaven to earth. What's the point of praying otherwise? What's the point of worship otherwise? We touch heaven because heaven is in us. It's in our hearts. It's not at a distance. And if you feel that there's any distance between you and God today, maybe you need to put something right, or maybe you just need to take a step of faith. If you feel that this has never happened to you, that this is just words, but they're true for others, but they're not true for me, then step into life today. Give your life to Jesus, and he will give you his in return. And all of heaven's resources are yours, and all of heaven will cheer you on, and your eternal life is guaranteed. Just give up and get him. Hallelujah. Let's just make a faith declaration. I am a citizen of heaven and heaven is my home. All of heaven's resources are available to me now. This is my birthright. And I claim my birthright in Jesus' name. Hey, come on. Well done. The fruit that your life bears is for others. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Is that you? Are you that one? Can't hear you. Then you're blessed. Blessed is the one whose confidence is in him. Have you placed your confidence in him? Have you? Then you're blessed. You will be like a tree planted by the water. That water is a river of life, folks, that sends out its roots by its stream. That's the only thing you have to do. Send out your roots deep down into him and suck up his life. You will not fear when heat comes. Your leaves are always green. You have no worries in a year of drought because you will never fail to bear fruit. The fruit we bear is for others. We can feed them from the tree of life as we learn to trust in God and send out our roots into him and drink deeply from his river of life. Lenny, could you come up and play for us, please? I was teaching Lenny a tongue twister earlier. Lenny, will you lay linoleum, lay linoleum, lay linoleum? Lenny, will you lay linoleum on the floor? He'll do it for you later. He's very good at it. Let's just stand up. Let's just stand. Okay. We're going to do something. We're going to fix our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. If you're on a ferry and you feel seasick, it's no good looking at the ship, it's no good looking at the waves. You look at the horizon, you look for a fixed point. So just close your eyes now. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Okay, this is communion, folks. We haven't taken the bread yet. We will. But this is communion. We're taking from Him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The word says, enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Okay? So if you think, well, there's a bit of a distance here, let's just give Him thanks. Just give Him thanks for something. Thank you, Lord, my keys are on my car seat. Thank you, Lord, it's just so good to be with these wonderful people today. Just give Him thanks. Don't give Him stuff you need Him to fix. Just give Him thanks. Okay, you're going to experience the bread of life. You're going to drink from the water of life now. So just relax. Don't fidget. It's a distraction. Don't pray now. You don't need to. Your eyes are fixed on Jesus. Don't pray in English. Don't pray in tongues, either out loud or in your head. You don't need to. We don't want any distractions. We want more of Jesus. More of you, Jesus! Only Jesus. Only Jesus. If you've asked Jesus into your life, then the kingdom of heaven is within you. Just let it bubble up. If you haven't asked Him into your life, then that's what you need to do now. Just enjoy the one whose life is in your life, the life giver. Have a meal with somebody, it's not about the food, it's about the company. Linger. Don't rush. Learn to linger with Jesus. We think of communion as receiving from him, but he says, whatever we give him to eat, he will eat with us, and we will eat with him. Whatever you've got is enough for the humble King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Whatever you've got is enough for him, and what he has is enough for you. What he wants is to be with you and for you to know his presence, his goodness, his faithfulness, his mercy, his love. So learn to take time out in your day. You can do it while you're driving. Just touch base with the Prince of Peace. And let him put his arm around you. Practice the presence of God. It's your birthright. It's your birthright. Peace is your birthright. Shalom is your birthright. This water is free for you to drink. This bread is free for you to eat. We're going to take communion. When you come up, come up to heaven. It's not beyond your reach. It's right in front of you. It's among you. Just take God's provision for you, which is here for you. These are just symbols, but don't let them be just symbols. Receive from him. He's received your worship this morning. He's received your trust. He's received your faithfulness this morning. Let's receive from him. Let him minister to you. And if you want more of him, if there's a hunger and thirst in you for more of him, then tell him that and learn to eat more from his banquet. Come up and eat. Come up and drink. Freely he's given. Freely we need to receive. Lord, give us greater freedom to receive more from you. We need more from you. We are not self-sufficient. It's not good enough just to eat from the tree of knowledge. I want to eat, we want to eat from the tree of life, Jesus. Jesus, your life and our life, Lord. Is what we want, it's what we need, it's what's freely available.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.